Now here's our question. What is Christianity all about? How would you sum it up? And I think for some people around us, the instinctive answer would be the one word at the top of the outline in your service sheets, don't. That is, Christianity is about don't do this, don't do that. It's all about rules and regulations and restrictions, the things we must avoid. We mustn't go there, we mustn't do this. If you do that, well, you'll be in God's good books and hopefully stay there. Just don't do it. Not surprisingly, with many with that view, they conclude, therefore, Christianity is not for them. But even among those who would be more positive, let's say, about Christianity, they would still maybe sum it up, don't. They'd probably put it more like this. The message is, don't harm anyone. That's enough. Don't hurt others. That's what it means to be Christian. Either way, there, it's about what we don't do. But how does Jesus see life in his kingdom? How would Jesus sum it up? Well, please turn with me to Matthew 7. It's on page 979. In our series here at St. Bennet's in Sermon on the Mount, we are now drawing to the conclusion of Jesus' sermon. And so this morning we're going to conclude by focus on one particular verse. It's a very well-known verse, so we're going to spend a bit of time thinking about it, what it does and doesn't say, which is verse 12. So page 979, chapter 7, verse 12, when Jesus says, "So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Well, those words have come to be known by many as the golden rule, and those words do sound noble. People admire them. In fact, many people who'd say, well, they're not Christians, but they do try to live by the golden rule. I hope whenever you hear that, you give me a wry smile, maybe. Because as we'll see, anyone who thinks they can keep the golden rule themselves show they simply haven't been listening to what Jesus has been saying. But this morning, we do want to listen. So that's why we're going to slow down and think about this one verse to see what Jesus has to say to us. Now, you'll notice they begin with a "so," which tells us, suggests these verses are a summary, which this verse is. And we think, well, what is it summing up? Well, remember this verse, but do look back, our one cross-reference to chapter 5, verse 17. So just back a page. Chapter 5, verse 17. Listen to what Jesus says there. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So you have noticed both of the verses talk about the law and the prophets, which is the way Jesus summarizes the whole of the Old Testament scriptures. And then if you look at it, you'll see before verse 17, we get Jesus' Beatitudes. That was the introduction to kingdom living. And then we'll find in the weeks to come, after chapter 7, verse 12, we get Jesus' concluding applications to his sermon. So in between, Jesus has been telling us what it means to live out his teaching in relation to the law and the prophets. In other words, how he has come to fulfill the Old Testament in its entirety, and that then should drive how his people live. And the point is, by the time you get to chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus is assuming we've now grasped what is at the heart of his message. And simply, it's not don't, it's done. The message is done. Now, we've seen continually, haven't we, over these past few weeks, that Jesus' teaching drives us back to the opening words of the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Right from the start, Jesus was telling us, you are, and as you read this, you'll realize all the more, you are poor in spirit. Of yourselves, you just can't keep what God has been asking of you. And we've seen that, haven't we? As Jesus has set out the standards of his kingdom, no hateful resentment towards others, no lustful thoughts, no judgmental attitudes, rather love for enemies, prioritizing righteousness, seeking his kingdom above all, treasure in heaven. I think we've seen again and again, and sometimes been convicted, that we simply don't meet what is required. We have failed. And we've realized it's not just the odd slip-up. That's simply what we are like deep inside. And so as we come to the golden rule, we know that we are people who can't live out what Jesus asks us. And that's true equally of this rule. And it kind of makes sense now as a conclusion. Do you remember what we saw last week in verse 11, how Jesus began that verse? He said, "If you then, who are evil..." Jesus simply assumes that's what we are like. It's humbling, but we know it's right. It shows that of ourselves, we are simply not fit for Jesus' kingdom. And yet we are members of his kingdom. But someone could easily ask, well, how can that be? If you have failed, how can you be in the kingdom? But that's because the message of Jesus, of Christianity, is not don't, but first and foremost, it's done. But not anything that's been done by us. The whole point is what's been done by Jesus. Some people think that the Sermon on the Mount stands alone, maybe as a legal document or a sermon that's simply there by itself. But of course, we've seen it isn't. It comes as part of Matthew's Gospel. And it doesn't come at the beginning. It's not the first thing that we hear. Chapter 1, do you remember we heard it at Christmas? Gabriel tells Joseph about the one to be born. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. But notice again the assumption. Humanity is mired in sin, Jesus calls it there. Right from the beginning, the message is we need saving, rescuing. That's what Jesus came to do. Think of what we've considered briefly already. For some people, their religion, as they like to think of it, is summed up by don't hurt anyone. If you're not doing that, you'll be okay. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't live by that standard? Because if he had, Jesus could have stayed in heaven. That would be fine, because obviously there he wouldn't be hurting anybody. He could simply leave us alone to it. Although we then would face the consequences of our sins. But we can be very thankful Jesus kept his own golden rule, if you like, in the most stunning way possible. He saw that what we would have wanted would have been to be rescued from our desperate situation. And so as Jesus saw that in his love, that's what he did. It took him all the way to death on the cross. As we read on in Matthew, Jesus himself tells us this, that he came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Point being, the price has been paid completely, once and for all, everything necessary. We don't have to do or contribute anything. Many people have never realized that's what Christianity is about. That first and foremost is not about what we do or don't do, it's about what's been done, finished already. Not by us, but by Jesus. And so as we listen now to Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, we always must have that fixed in place firmly. We are members of his kingdom because of what Jesus has already done. And then, as members of his kingdom, then we are given a summary of how to live to please him. And it's not so much don't, it's do. Look at verse 12 again in chapter 7. Jesus says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now, for Jesus' hearers in his day, they might have recognized what he said because something similar was said by a number of other religious teachers. There was one vital difference, which we'll come to. But what they heard in those days went something like this: whatever you would like not to be done to you, you also must not do to others. And again, that is all good as far as it goes. But listen carefully, you could keep that rule by doing nothing. Nothing at all, because you wouldn't be hurting others. And it is striking that when people say to you, "Well, I never hurt anyone, I don't do any harm," does that mean they do nothing for anybody? Let me ask us a question. How are you doing living for Jesus? Living for him day by day in the world. And I wonder if hearing that, we too instinctively think of what we are not doing. By that I mean, we think of the ways we know we shouldn't slip up. How are we doing? the things that we shouldn't do. And actually, if we're doing quite well, we haven't done those things so much in the last few weeks, we think, oh, I'm actually doing okay. I haven't done those wrong things. Well, these words of Jesus deeply challenge us if that's our attitude. Because although Jesus' command might sound initially similar to what others are saying, did you notice there is a fundamental difference? Jesus says positively, we are to do what we would positively like others to do for us. And that, doesn't it, takes the standard to a whole new level. Jesus is saying, don't just think what you don't do and then tick a box. Instead, take the initiative. Think. Find out what the needs of our neighbours, our colleagues, our friends, our fellow church members are. And then go out of our way to meet them as we would like them to have done that for us. What do we wish others would do for us? We want to be loved, don't we? So we'll love others. We'll want to be cared for, so we'll care for others. We want others to show thought and to realise when we're facing a particular challenge, so we'll do the same to others and think, how can we meet it? When we are in need, we appreciate gifts and what people give us. We too then will be generous to give to those in need. We won't simply wait for the crisis and other people are watching and then finally step in and do something. And we won't narrow our concern maybe to a particular area of people's lives. Notice again how Jesus begins. He says, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. I wonder, are we feeling the weight of what Jesus is setting before us? Well, if we are, maybe we can see why it follows what we thought about last week. Do you remember? Because we can't do this in our own strength at all. If we think we can, we simply haven't been listening or really thinking about what Jesus is saying. Someone who doesn't know Jesus as King couldn't begin to live out this way. But we can begin to do it because of what Jesus tells us in the previous verses. Do you remember what we heard him say? He said, ask and seek and knock. Ask for God's help. Not so much to make our life more comfortable, but so that we can live as the people of Jesus' kingdom. So ask for God to help us to live in this other person-centered way. Ask maybe, if we need to, for God's help simply to be willing to do this. And then maybe with the specific people and situations in our lives in mind, ask for wisdom, for strength, that we would do to others as we would have them do to us. So we are to act in others' best interests. But how do we actually know what is for the best? How do we know what's the loving thing to do for somebody else? Now, sometimes it is actually obvious. The question is, will we get on and do it? But sometimes, here in 21st century London, there are wildly different opinions about what is for the best for others, maybe particularly in areas of relationships or lifestyle. So Jesus, is he just leaving us all individually to decide what's best, what's right in our own eyes, and then to get on with it? Well, that's why I think we've got to take very seriously what he says at the end of verse 12. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, before we go on, notice how that contradicts completely people's view of the law. I don't know what word association people would come up with if you said, what do you think of when I say law? Some would say cold, hard, inflexible, negative. Jesus is saying here the law is all about love. That's why God gave it. That's what it's there for, doing the best for others. And so if we want to know how it is we can serve others and we want them to serve us, what's for their best, we will immerse ourselves in the law and the prophets. Jesus says that is what they were about all along. The whole Bible is the Creator telling us how we are to flourish, and so we can know how others too are to flourish. So law is not opposite to love. Rather, the law shows us what true love looks like. So part of our care for others will be to point them to what God has to say, because that will help them know how to live. And as we close in all of this, there must be one particular application to those who aren't members of God's kingdom as we think how we can serve them. How do we do the best for those who aren't yet in Jesus' kingdom? Well, do we really believe the things we've said and sung so many times this morning, that our greatest blessing is to know God in Christ? How did that come to us? Well, because others spoke to us of Jesus. Well, if we know that is true, we know therefore the greatest need of others must be to be saved from their sins. That will happen as they hear the good news about Jesus as Lord and Saviour. So the way we keep the golden rule out in the world must include going out of our way to speak to them. That is really having their very best interests in view. And we'll do that again as we think of Jesus. We've already thought that he came into our world on a rescue mission, taking him to the cross. But then what did Jesus do all through his life on the way to the cross? Well, we've read the Gospels. He preached. He spoke. He proclaimed the kingdom wherever he went. That was his priority. Why? Because he loved people. He knew that's what mattered most of all. So here's another reason why someone who's not yet in the kingdom can't actually keep the golden rule, because they won't be doing what is best for others. But we do know what is best, that they meet Jesus the King. And so we'll do what we can to help them do that. So we've spent some time looking at one verse this morning, Jesus' golden rule. It's such a simple summary of Jesus' teaching. It's not hard, I don't think, to understand. But the challenge begins now, which is to obey it. I guess even this morning, if we think about it, we have failed numerous times. And so we will finally end by looking again to the one who says the words. Praise God that Jesus kept the golden rule in all of life. His whole mission was driven by our good. Took the initiative, went out of his way at great cost, to save us from our sins, so that it's not what we do, but what he has done that gets us into the kingdom. But now that we are members, here is his command for us. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Let me lead us in a prayer as we close. Our Father, we do praise you again for your great compassion towards us, that when we were in such great need, unable to do anything for ourselves, you sent your Son, even to die, for our eternal good. Thank you that it's done, that he has done everything necessary for us to be members of his kingdom, to enjoy all the blessings that go with it. And so now, after hearing Jesus' words this morning, we ask again for your help. Would you give to us this genuine concern for those around us, that we would do to them as we would have them do to us? Give us energy, initiative, strength, willing to give of ourselves, following the example that Jesus set for us. And would the scriptures shape us so that we really can love others in the way that is the very best for them? And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.